Draw your sword, knock your arrows, and ready your spellbook. It's time for another episode of The Gamesman. What role will you play?
Greetings, guys, gals, and guildies. Welcome to episode 13 of The Gamesman, recorded on Sunday, September 20th, 2009. The Gamesmen are here to play roles. I am Excalibur, assuming the role of your host. With me yet again this week is our co-host, Rabid Scotsman.
Hey, man, what's going on?
Oh, all right, man, how you been?
Oh, pretty good. I've been elevated to co-host. Nice.
Yes,
nice.
Yes. We get to share the duties this week because Our friend JSS Lifelike was on vacation, so he's taking some time off. So we are going to fill in the spot this week.
Yeah, some much needed rest from what I hear. So
yes, yes. He is a busy man and he does work hard. So we wish him a good break and hopefully he comes back ready to go for this live show we got coming up in a week or two.
Oh yeah. I'm pumped. Let's do it.
Nice, nice.
Let's see, first off, I guess it's time for episode 12 cleanup, which I guess goes to you as the role of housekeeper this week.
All right, well, since I think Rabid may not have listened to the podcast from episode 12, it was a retro podcast, and it just struck me as kind of odd because the entire podcast, all you did, Rabid, was pretty much crap on the Xbox 360. You talked about you crapped hard, man. I'm talking.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It sucks.
Yeah,
it does.
You talked about how people went like 6 months without getting a repair, and they wasted their money, and you'd never spend your money on it. And then I happened to remember a certain Rabid playing it all. That's where I met you, and you have your Xbox on every day, even after the Black Clown stole all your saves. You still play the Xbox 360. So I just wanted to know, when did you have the epiphany, and what is it? When did you change your mind and actually become a lover of the dark side?
Well, I think it was around episode 6 or 7. I can't really remember exactly which one it was. From The Gamesman, and they dropped the price on it, and I don't know. All their titles are now cheap, and I could like get Netflix on it for $10 a month or $6 a month or whatever it is. So there were just a lot of good features that suddenly came out, and I know that I'm going to have to replace the piece of junk eventually. I just have to hope that it's not going to be out for 6 months or whatever and, and go with it.
I mean, you really have to listen to that podcast because you were going off. I mean, I'm talking maybe a 5 minute straight rant on how much you hate Microsoft and you'll never buy anything from them. And you're like, well, they had Netflix and $100 off, so I bought it.
it didn't really take me much to cross that picket line to just cave. I like to think it's for good reason, but it probably wasn't. I was just bored and wanted to blow $300.
was the PlayStation 3 an option in your mind then? Or were you just going out to buy the 360 because your friends had it? Or
well, I was considering getting a next-gen console. But the PlayStation didn't have... Well, they either shared titles that I liked with the Xbox, or they didn't have that many exclusives, and it was still $400. And basically when it came down to it, I decided that the PlayStation 3 was probably going to be around for quite a while. It was probably going to be a long-term system like the PS2 was. So I figured I'd wait until the price dropped and then go out and get one later. And, in the meantime, buy the Xbox. Honestly, it was probably the achievements that I caved on because I was like, oh, achievements, and everything else went out the window.
Man, I'll tell you, the achievements, I really, when they were first announced, was not into achievements, thought they were a stupid idea.
Yeah, me
and
too.
That those achievements are what bring me back. When I'm at the store about to buy for PS3 or 360, I go with the achievements almost every time.
Yeah.
It's hard to pass up, man. It's just, I don't know what it is. It's just the horror in me. I need to get some more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, I hear that. I've been enjoying it. There are certain games where the achievements are just ridiculous, and I don't really understand why they would include those. For example, this was going to be one of my rants. I figured I'll just go off on it real quick.
Hey, go ahead.
As you mentioned it. Some of the games will have multiplayer-specific achievements, but then if you're broke, like me, and you can't always pick up games on the first day, and you have to wait, you know, half a year until the price drops, or until it's readily available to be rented, you hop into a game and there's just no chance in hell that you're ever going to get those multiplayer achievements.
No, never.
Yeah, especially for the first-person shooters. There's just no way in hell, because people jump from first-person shooter to the newest first-person shooter to the newest. You know, it just, no one ever sticks around on one. You know what I mean? Except for, like, the battle.
Blacksite Area 51 did that to me.
Oh, yeah?
They had multiplayer achievements, and they were worth, like, 50 to 100 points, and you couldn't get them because there were three kids online playing them. And and they wouldn't let me in their game.
Yeah, let me think here. Time Shift.
Yep.
Fear 2.
See, I could still get in some games on Fear 2, couldn't you?
I got into one.
Oh, really?
In about 2 days of trying, and I got one achievement because we wiped the floor with them that one round, and that was it.
See, Fear 1 kept people playing it a lot longer than Fear 2 did.
Yeah, I think so. It was a little bit more fresh and dynamic.
I think it was the timing, too, probably. There weren't as many games out to play online as there are now.
That's true.
First-person shooters, anyway.
Yeah. Ironically, the only guys that seemed to do it right was Infinity Ward with Call of Duty 4. Because they have their own multiplayer reward system that's rewarding in itself. But then the only achievements that you can get are for single player. So then you can go through and, you know, challenge yourself and earn all the achievements. They're all technically earnable. The ones you can't even play multiplayer anymore, you can't even earn them. They're just, you know, all hope is lost. As a little Slipknot reference there for any Slipknot fans out there.
See, I think that's the most fair way to do it. Because there's people that don't have the internet, and why should they be punished and not be able to get 1,000 on their achievement score when, I mean, it's not their fault that they don't have internet, and they shouldn't have to pay an extra $50 a month just to finish a game that they'd like to finish.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
At the same time, Call of Duty is one of those games that's probably one of the best online shooters out there that I don't play that often because I don't feel like I don't have any achievements to play towards. And
the
rewards just don't, they're fun, but I love the game. I played it with Matthias 13 the other day, Call of Duty 4, and it still holds up, still looks great, plays good, but I just felt like I didn't have anything to work towards. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
So it's kind of like a double-edged sword for me. I feel bad for the people that don't have internet, but at the same time, I just need something to push me forward a little.
On the same token, there's downloadable content, which a lot of the games will just update the gamer score and say, no, it's no longer out of 1,000, it's out of 1,250.
Yes.
Even if you don't own the downloadable content. So it's not something you can even earn. So you can't max a game. That you shouldn't be penalized for not buying an expansion, you know, or downloadable content if you want to max out a game.
See, that's true. With if Lifelike was here, I'm sure he would tell you he got 100% on his PlayStation trophies on Burnout Paradise. And
oh, yeah.
He had 100%. I went to look at it. All of a sudden, he had 89. And I'm like, you don't have 100. You have 89. And that was the day the downloadable content came out for Big Surf Island. All of a sudden, it just took his platinum trophy. It didn't take it away, but it took his percentage away, so all of a sudden he didn't have 100%, even though he had the platinum still.
Yeah, that sucks.
So, I mean, there should be a way that they could just fix that up so you can keep your 100%, and the DLC is almost like an add-on to your current score without compromising the score you already own.
Otherwise, it should default to, like, a vanilla score, you know, if you want to use that term, I guess, where it's just the original game, you know, there's no fun flavoring added. And then if you actually own or have played the downloadable content, then it can change, you know, what your total score out of your max score is.
Well, do you know there is a glitch in the matrix on this one? I actually noticed that I bought Tomb Raider. Was it Tomb Raider Legend? And you know when they came out with the download for Tomb Raider Anniversary? Well, my one friend bought Tomb Raider Anniversary separately as a disc, and I bought it as a downloadable content. And so when I go to my game saves to look at my achievements, I'm not my game saves, but you know, my gamer score to look at my achievements, my achievements for Anniversary are under my achievements for Tomb Raider Legend. But when I look at it, when I look at his gamer card, they're two separate games with two separate scores. Yeah. So if you buy the, but like when I bought the DLC for Oblivion, Shivering Isles, that I bought that on a disc, but it still put it right in with the Oblivion game. It wasn't a separate.
Yeah, it just adds it on.
So, but I mean, maybe IDOS felt the same way that you did, and they didn't want it to mess up your gamer score. So they actually, there's a way to go around that. So they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think I've seen it before on a different game. All I know is that I got 1,000 points on Resident Evil 5, finally. And then they don't give me the little icon that says this is one of those six games that you've 100% it only says I have 5.
Congratulations on that again.
Oh, thank you.
I did see that you beat that, and I was like, oh man, he did it by himself. It had to be hard.
Yeah. Well, Sheva's really stupid by the end of 5-2. She's just completely useless.
Yeah.
And actually, I just polished off Silent Hill Homecoming. I got 1,000 on that.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.
I got that like last week.
Man, you're a beast.
I beat the crap out of it, man. You have to beat the game 5 times just to get all the endings and everything unlocked.
You beat it? You did not beat it 5 times.
Yeah, I got endings 1 through 5.
All right. Wow. How long did it, at the end when you were beating it, how long did it take for a single run through?
Well,
you could do it in a day?
There's a certain save point where if you save in the prison.
Yeah.
After that, just before you make your first set of...
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, I'm going to try and stay away from the spoilers there, but after you make your first decisions about which ending you're going to get based on, you know, whatever decisions you make in the story, it's like an option A or option B type of thing. And depending on how you pick option A or option B throughout 3 different encounters, that determines which of the 5 endings you get. So I saved right before that on a separate save spot.
Yeah.
And then went back and played it for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, maybe.
Oh, so that's, you can, it's that close to the end. It.
Yeah, I mean, I just rushed through it. I had everything memorized, where everything was, what the decisions were. I had that up on my PC, so I wouldn't screw that up. And, yeah, I just burned through it. So I did 4 endings in one night, easily.
Oh, so nice.
You can do that extra save, go and beat it on your normal save to get the first ending, and then go through and beat it again and again. And then on that last one, you do ending 5, and you can play through it on hard, and it unlocks a special weapon with unlimited ammo that makes playing it on hard really easy. So you just burn through that and get your fifth ending. You do have to start over from the beginning for the last ending, but once you've played it that many times, you can just burn through it. And I thought I'd be burnt out on it, but it was actually really good. I still enjoyed it. The Silent Hill games are always really deep, and they're thrilling, but they're also psychologically thrilling. You know, they really pull you into that world.
Yeah, I've always been a fan. I've been a fan since the PS1 version, and it's not for everybody. Yeah. The controls aren't ideal. You know,
they could have learned some things from Resident Evil with the spin around.
Well, I mean, they all could learn some things from Dead Space. Dead Space is butter. You never think about the controls in Dead Space ever. It's an afterthought.
And, that's true.
I know in Silent Hill Homecoming, you're up, down, left, and right. You can't change it. It's only up, down, left, and right. It's not inverted. And some people who like inverted can't control the camera that way. And I know it turned a couple people off to the point where they couldn't play it.
Really?
Me, I can play. I'm pretty,
I guess that's
pretty
true.
Versatile. So I play either way. And I love Silent Hill so much that I put up with it, and you get over it eventually. But some of my friends just couldn't do that. But
it's a great game, great lore, and the whole nine.
Oh, it is a great game. If anybody out there was thinking about picking it up and just didn't know, if you are a fan of the series, I would just say go ahead and get it. If you're new to the series, I might want to rent it and see if it's your type of game. But definitely a good game.
Definitely make sure that you crank the sound up and you turn all your lights off and you play it at night and you actually adjust the brightness to where they tell you to, because it's so much more intense like that. And it'll really freak you out.
Yeah, when you can't see what's coming at you and the noise, the audio in that game is just some of the best. Some of the best. Intense. Konami does a phenomenal job with that.
You can kind of tell that something's coming towards you and you're like, oh crap.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, if you move, then they hear you and they run towards you in the dark and then you're totally screwed. And, you know, it's really cool. There's a lot of really fun mechanics in it.
Nice. Well, since we've gone on for a little long for our intro, so why don't we take a break real quick and then we will come back and read some show comments, a couple emails, and we'll get into some more game discussion.
Sounds good.
Sounds like a plan. We are back, and after our short little break, we'd like to get into some comments, and we actually have a new listener. Name is Betrayal.
Welcome.
He's actually on my friends list on Xbox Live, a real cool cat. So he says, just want to say real quick, new listener here, although I've only gone through around half of the catalog so far, expect me to tune in regularly. And then he goes on to say, I think on live will be a great way for people who don't have good hardware to play online games. It just seems like they might be shooting for the stars with the idea, even if the games streamed aren't that impressive or new. And with OnLive, and Rabbit, you said you weren't really familiar with OnLive, I think?
I think I'm kind of getting what it is, though.
It's basically what a console is future. Basically, you'll just... From your internet connection, you can download. They'll give you like a little box, and you can. It's like a cloud computing. You'll just stream it from their site. Okay. They'll have games like Call of Duty or all the top games, and you'll just be able to pay like a monthly fee, or you know, pay for the games from them to stream them, and you'll just play them. You won't have a disc or a console to buy, or Xbox or a store to go to. It's basically the start of the console's future. That's what OnLive is. But the big deal is with the streaming. Can they really keep millions of people on there playing games from their servers without issues? And they've had some success in small numbers, but they haven't really been able to test it the size that they want to come out and launch at. So I guess it's up in the air, Betrayal. I'm not sure how it's going to be. I've heard people that played it said it played surprisingly well and they didn't feel lag, but I mean, it's on a small scale. So I guess we're really going to have to see if they can pull it off.
It'll be interesting to see.
It'll be something we'll have to visit later on in a further podcast when we know more about it, and you know, when they're actually about to launch the service.
Yeah,
I'm not even sure when it's really supposed to come out. I think sometime next year, but I'm not positive. And let's see. And then we have another comment from Lifelike himself, and he said, "I'd like to hear your thoughts on OnLive going into open beta. I still have a difficult time believing the technology actually works. I mean, how could there be?" not be input lag from the controller device. The whole thing seems shady to me. And that is basically what it comes down to. We just kind of have to see it to believe it. Doesn't seem possible.
Yeah.
And then he also says, also let me coin the term PS3.5, which I think he mentioned in the last podcast. As Sony does not want us calling it the Slim, he will be referring to the new model as the PS3.5 from now on. While the terminology tip, every time... He says, while on the terminology tip, every time I screw something up in real life from now on, I will say, well, I'll just shoot up to a gargoyle real quick and retry that again. So he must be playing a lot of Batman.
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting from that. So those are the two comments I have. Are there? Do you have some comments to read there, Rabbit?
I do. It's actually a comment on our last episode, episode 12, from Easton Arrow. He says, "Welcome to the Beer and Beard Show." Or is it Beards and Beer Show? and then he goes on to say, "I will never eat another hot dog." Did I miss a joke in episode 12 or something?
I don't remember hearing any hot dog jokes, but I mean, that was a week ago I listened to it. Unless true. Maybe he just has a personal invasion to hot dogs. I'm not sure.
He's just letting us know.
Yeah.
No, it's
aversion, not invasion. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Aversion, yes. Yeah. I don't even know what an invasion is. Invasion of hot dogs. Better watch out. It's raining.
It's always good to hear from Easton Arrow, though, even if we are a little bit lost.
Yeah, just a little bit. It's raining wieners.
Let's see. Also, we had that great review by JSS Lifelike, Batman Arkham Asylum, a retrospective review, which I enjoyed. He did have kind of a unique take on it, having played a lot of Metroid in the same week there.
Yeah, he did compare the two fairly much, but I guess that's because he played them in the same week, like you said. I didn't get to finish it because I got to the end of the article and I felt like there were going to be some spoilers and I hadn't finished the game
yet.
Yeah,
that there are spoilers in there. I had to wait until I beat it. I finally got my hands on it and I had to wait until I actually beat it until I read it. So,
but, yeah, he's a talented guy, man. He's been doing a lot of writing, pretty good articles on there weekly on the site. If you check it out, he always has something good to read up on. So,
oh yeah. And of course the happy 10th birthday Dreamcast. He actually had a great line there, which I'm just going to rehash here. James Dean, Kurt Cobain, Sega Dreamcast. All of them look to have promising futures. All of them died in their prime.
That's not even right.
I know, but it's a great line still. It's just great. Let's see. Also on the site, we have apparently people are really enjoying DDO, Dungeons & Dragons Online. I haven't even checked it out yet.
Oh, me neither. I've been so busy, man.
Yeah, and I mean, even when I do get a chance to game, I've been busy with the Xbox because it's been, you know, it's got me tied down like an old married guy, I guess.
Which is like, pretty much like you are.
Yeah, exactly. But what else do we have on the side here? We've got Eddie Riggs makes VMA appearance, which of course is Jack Black. He showed up at the VMAs, I guess, in his Eddie Riggs costume, and it's actually a pretty funny video. He's clearly in character the whole time. And nice. There are actually a couple of funny comments there. Let's see. First comment is by Beer and Beards on September 15th. And he says, the best part is when he asks the crowd to pray to Satan with him. He says, LOL. I don't think I caught that. That definitely sounds like something Jack Black would say, though, just out of the blue.
It does. I wish I would have heard how that went over.
Yeah, seriously.
It's not something you yell out every day, you know?
Exactly. So he probably got plenty of laughs, I'm sure, though. Let's see. The second comment is by Einsam. And he says, somehow, some way, that man is one of my heroes, and I've yet to completely put my finger on how, but he's definitely one of them nonetheless. I think everyone kind of feels that way with Jack Black and his music career with Tenacious D and all that.
He makes me want to raise my goblet of rock.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But yeah, so we've had some decent action on the site, even though the gamesmen have been on kind of a hiatus here recently with some much needed vacation time, and us with our random computer problems, viruses and
oh yeah, you gave me your black clown. I think he's contagious, or he's just sneaking around in my bushes because he keeps snatching all my appliances from me, man. Tell you, my TV, my computer, my phone all broke in the same week.
Wow.
It's amazing. I might have to just stop being friends with you because I feel like there's just a black clown always around me, man. Ever since that episode, I can't shake him.
I don't think any of us can. After that episode.
I'm telling you. Oh, it's like the ring or something, you know? Like,
yeah. Dude, we're just going to pass it around. It'll float above your head for a while. All right. Well, so what's coming up here in the weeks and months to come in gaming? You've been playing some demos here recently, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, what we got coming up, it is September. Last week, I think, started to get our flood of summer, or summer gaming. There's no summer gaming. Our flood of fall gaming back in. Last week, we had Need for Speed Shift came out, which I did pick up for $60. Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 came out. I haven't really got to play it. I heard it's a lot more of the same, not as much changes, but it is a better game than the first.
Yeah, I've heard that it is a better game than the first. One of our Gamespin listeners out there, Charles, who's actually native to my area out here in Colorado.
Is he in charge?
And he says he's loving it. You know, he is in charge.
Charles in charge of our days. Sorry, I'm just going to get deep and reminisce.
There you go.
He's not in charge of my nights, though. I'll tell you that.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Now we have some singing randomly thrown in there. That's good, though.
I like to sing at least once a cast. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Actually, that's true, isn't it?
A little bit.
He did say that it was an improvement on the last game. Just different. So
I would hope so. The only thing that was wrong with the last game to me was the save system. I would get to a boss, die, and redo the board, and then I just turned it off and took it back.
Yeah.
I really liked it, but I'm not into Dead Rising or Marvel Ultimate Alliance save systems. That will break the game for me, and I don't. I'm not redoing sections I already did.
Yeah.
I don't get that much time in the day. Also, we had last week, all came out on the same day on Tuesday. Either Tuesday or Wednesday, they came out. NHL 2010.
Ooh.
I think NHL 2K10 came out also, but I heard it's so crappy that nobody noticed.
Really?
So, that's what I've heard. They took a year off to make a comeback and not come back.
Oh, man.
So that was a waste of money, I heard. But also a little game called Wet, which was published by Bethesda. It's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino-ish stranglehold, if you will, with Elizabeth Dushku, or Eliza Dushku.
Really?
She does the voice. And does a really good job, too.
Really?
I'm getting mixed reviews.
I haven't heard anything about it.
If you like Stranglehold, you'll probably love Wet. If you didn't like it, stay away. and then there's another game for the DS called Scribblenauts.
I'm sorry, wait. Squirrelnauts? did you just say the game's called Squirrelnauts?
You just run around hoarding for the winter.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Jeez.
Scribble, like if you scribbled on a tablet, and knots, as in astronauts. So Scribblenauts. It is a really original DS game. Most DS games are original, but it's a really original DS game where you, if you haven't been familiar with it, it's kind of like a puzzle platformer, sort of, where there'll be a challenge in the world. Say you have to cross an area that has a hole in the ground and there's no bridge. And you basically type in a word of what you want to help you fix the puzzle. So say you
draw the word on the screen? Or?
No, you actually type the word in and then it drops it in the screen. So say you want a dragon. You're like, I can stick a dragon in that hole and climb over his head. You type in dragon, a dragon will fall in the hole. Maybe you want to try and cover it with a parachute. So you drop a parachute over top and try to walk, but maybe you fall in the hole. So that doesn't work. You could type bridge, you know, and that would be easy. But supposedly there's over... there's tens and tens of thousands of words that this game recognizes.
Wow.
Stuff like even like invisibility cloak, if you have to get sneak by somebody. Or you can drop fire trucks or whales or like icebergs. Anything you could think of to type in this game. Drop a pimp. I don't know because I haven't played it. But if you need
just
to get
by
somebody,
like,
I need a pimp.
With a big feather in his hat.
I bet you, I wouldn't put it past them.
Who's that chick just standing out on the screen? Oh, man, it's a hoe. I need a pimp to slap her.
To get her out of your way. You can get the star past. There's a hoe in my way.
Let us pray the pimp's prayer. Oh, Lord. Guide my hand to backhand this hoe. some boondocks for you there.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's funny. Ow.
Wow. So there's some mad pimp dropping.
There's
going
some
on.
Mad pimp dropping going on in Scribblenauts.
All right.
So
go out and pick up Squirrelnuts or Scribblenauts.
I'm laughing, man. Oh, those are the games. That was a big week last week. Week before,
yeah,
of course. You know, Dirt 2 came out along with Beatles Rock Band.
That's
both
true.
Both great games coming up. Though I don't mean to gloss over those real quick, but there's bunch of other games coming up, and we do kind of have just a put-together show this week. So I just want to get to the business. PS3, we got Katamari coming out.
Those are always insane.
it looks good with HD graphics. I never was a big fan. If you like to roll a ball around and pick stuff up, pick it up. If you don't, yeah, don't.
Yeah, it's fun for a little while. It's strange. But
Ninja Gaiden 2 Sigma, or Ninja Gaiden Sigma 2, also comes out for the PS3. Both of those are PS3 exclusives, along with the Cabela's game. Halo 3 ODST comes out for the Xbox 360 next week. That's pretty much the last big release. I gotta see it. I'm not gonna hate on it just yet, but I don't want to pay $60 for it.
That's true.
I won't play the multiplayer, so I'm only gonna play the single, and it's not worth the $60 for me.
Yeah.
But and then DS has they just had that Scribblenauts and Squirrelnuts. It's actually a big month for the PSP, believe it or not. They have
was good to hear.
Shin Megami Tensei. The Tensei? I got a real high voice pop right there. But anyway, Shin Megami Tensei is coming out later on this month on the PSP. Motor Storm Arctic something. I couldn't read the last word because it was cut off my screen. but there's a Motor Storm coming out for the PSP. Also a game called Obscure, which was a scary survival horror game on the PS2. Actually, wasn't too bad. Japanese-made game. It will probably freak you out on the PSP. I would say keep your eyes open for that one if you like Silent Hill on the PSP or anything like that. Nice. And they're also bringing GTA Chinatown Wars to the PlayStation Portable.
Oh, really?
I didn't get to check
another on, GTA.
The one that was on the DS. They're it didn't do too well on the DS, and they're kind of looking for a more mature audience on the PSP. I'm guessing. And also, there's, I guess, what just came out for the PS3, the PSN store. They got a retro PS1 classics for Tomb Raider 3 and Final Fantasy Tactics. So nice. If you're fiending for some old-school gaming, go on over to your PSN and pick those up. Those are all the games there's more games coming out, but, for the Wii, there's Price is Right. I forgot about that. That's going to be huge because people just love Price is Right. Not huge like Wii Fit or something, but I mean, I can see families playing some prices right. And there's like some wacky Barker sports adventure, Cabela's, Rapala. People love the fish on the Wii, so those will all be pretty big. But what I really wanted to talk about was the racing games coming out this fall. I'm a big racing fan. It's probably my favorite genre of game. Yeah,
I did not know that about you.
Yeah, I love racing games. It's one of the only genres that I actually probably beat every racing game I have.
Nice.
Kind of like you beat every game you have. I beat my racing game.
Within reason, man, some of those achievements. Okay, all I have to say is Batman 100% and 24 medals on the combat and Predator maps. That's just ridiculous. I'm not even going to bother, man.
I'm probably not either because they're not as fun as the game is.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there is free DLC for Batman. If you already beat that, I guess you don't have to beat it, but if you're into the challenge maps and you enjoy that part of Batman, there is some free DLC for insane challenge maps, which I can't imagine how hard that will be. I downloaded it, but I don't know when I'll actually get to playing it.
Yeah.
So. Oh, and one other thing, Red Faction multiplayer. Downloadable content. It is not free. I think it's 500 and some Microsoft points. I think it's $6 or $7, probably the same on the PSN. There's Rock Band DLC, and I think there's some Abbey Road or Sergeant Pepper's is coming out in the weeks to come. So if you picked up Beatles Rock Band, there will be some DLC for you very shortly. So just keep on the lookout for that. But back to these racing games I played. I did buy Dirt 2 last week. Actually, I guess 2 weeks ago now. And I did buy Need for Speed Shift. Paid the $60 for both of them.
Cool.
And Dirt 1 was one of my favorite games, man. I sat in my basement and played that game nonstop for a week straight. A week doesn't sound like a long time, but when you don't work and you play it for 12 hours a day, it's a long time.
Yeah, it is. I've been there.
I have 925 points on that. I have one achievement left, which is drive 1,000 miles or something, and I'm like 10 miles away from it. And so I'd have to get the game back and just do it. But Dirt 2 is pretty much an upgrade on its predecessor in every way. The graphics, top notch. If you didn't think Dirt could look any better, trust me, it does.
Nice.
It looks, oh my God, it looks gorgeous. I'm trying not to say phenomenal, this cast, so it looks very, very pretty. The Dirt, when you're in first person mode, I know a lot of people won't play that mode, and it is a difficult mode to play on Dirt 2 because of this fact, and it's one of the best graphical sensations I've seen in a racing game. The in-the-car view is just great. And when you go through a puddle, in this game there are puddles all over the tracks. Not on every track, but the tracks that have puddles, sometimes there's dark, murky puddles when you're on tarmac. There's muddy puddles when you're on mud. Different color puddles. And the mud and puddle comes up on the screen on your windshield. And it's in whatever form that it was on the road. So if it's dark on the road, then it doesn't come up muddy. It comes up dark. And if you're on a muddy track, the mud and water almost seem separate on the screen. I don't understand how they do it. It's like the mud and water hit the screen and the water kind of runs down separately from the mud, and then all of a sudden, within the same second, your windshield wipers come on and brush it off the screen. And if there's a little puddle right after that, if you hit a big puddle, you get a big splash. Windshield wipers wipe it away, and then you hit the next little puddle, it's a little splash. It's not the same canned animation every time. And it is, I mean, as soon as it happened,
it's
think
it's got to make driving interesting,
it,
right?
It makes driving impossible. It makes stuff. Driving. it's the coolest thing to
see. That actually sounds pretty cool.
But I actually had to, it's one of those things where once you learn the track, you can then go back when you play it again and play in the car mode. But the first couple times you race it, you're going to want to play out of the car so you can get the feel for the track. Because once you kind of go blind for a second, and if you can't see the turn, you're going to miss it. But the game has a really, really robust multiplayer this time. I think one of the knocks on it last time was that the multiplayer was just time trials. You would race against people online, and you would all race at the same time, but it was
like
just the time. Sort of like that. It's just like real rally racing is. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. Okay.
So like you would all race, you start at the same time, but you would just see their time and whoever had the best time would win. But this one has the same thing, but you can also play multiplayer races against other human controlled cars. So much needed. There's a bigger variety of vehicles. They have trucks, buggies, cars, the usual, all the same cars from last time. A couple new ones. Dave Mira and Travis Pastrana both use voices in this one, because Dave Mira is now a rally car driver as well.
Oh.
New to the circuit this year.
Nice.
So he's in the game. They do a real good job. They still have this stuff that splashes up your achievement progress, splashes up in between races on the screen. It's just a really well-made game, and it's a decent amount of length. I think you'll get your money's worth out of it, and you will enjoy it. So it has a couple different views, too. There's in-the-car view, out-of-the-car view, a view with no car with the hood, and then two out-of-the-car views where closer to the car and further away. So any kind of way that you like your view in Dirt, you pretty much have that option.
Nice.
So great game. I do recommend it wholeheartedly. Probably the best rally game ever made.
Very cool.
And then we go to Need for Speed Shift.
Yes. How is the Need for Speed genre holding up? But now that Burnout Paradise has been out for forever.
You know, so now that people actually get to move on to another racing game. Dirt 2 and Need for Speed are completely different. So if you only have $60 this year, it's kind of hard to tell you. If you're a Need for Speed fan and a Forza fan, because it follows a lot of keys of Forza. It's a simulation game this time. Not an arcade type of racer. So if you're thinking it's an arcade type of racer like the previous Need for Speeds, get that out of your head. It is not. But they're two completely different games. So they're both great. Get that out of the way. I love both of them. I recommend both of them. Need for Speed Shift now took a twist, and they shifted away from the arcade racing to the simulation. And the cool
no pun intended.
Exactly. I guarantee that's why they called it that.
Oh, yeah.
But what the cool thing about it is if you're not good at these types of games, or even if you are, I am pretty good at them. My girlfriend per se is not. So what it does is when you first start the game, it puts you on a track and it gives you a car and it asks you to drive around the track. And I drove and I didn't drive my best because I haven't played a racing game like Forza in a while, but I stayed on the track for the most part and I finished it. And there's like five different difficulty levels. There's a bunch of different sections, AI difficulty, your driving difficulty, the sliders for assistance to the, you know, for your braking and all that. And there's also that Forza line on the ground that goes green or red or yellow to telling you to slow down or speed up. So what happens when you take that first lap, it calculates how you drive it and then sets the settings for you. And it actually set the settings perfect for me and made the difficulty just hard enough that it was hard for me, but just good enough that it didn't frustrate me. And my girlfriend then did it, and she was all over the place, running into walls, couldn't hit the turns, like she's sliding into the grass. And she's like, man, this game sucks because she can't play it. Well, it just, she sucked for that lap, but then it set all the settings for her, gave her all the assists on, put the AI on easy, put her driving on easy. And it's not an arcade racer, but it made her able to play the game just as well as she did other Need for Speeds.
Oh, very cool.
It really accommodates any type of racing fan that you are. So if you're interested in Need for Speed at all, and there's something on the fence you think maybe you're not good enough to play it or it might be too difficult, throw that knowledge away because it'll actually work for you. I think Dirt, for me, I think it's a better game for some reason. I kind of has more pizzazz to it, but I can't stop playing Need for Speed Shift. I put Dirt in the other night to play it, and I took it out and I put Need for Speed back in. The cool thing about Need for Speed also, you level up. So as you drive the game, it gives you precision points and aggression points. Huh. And what that means is, say you pass somebody, you pass them without touching them. You get precision points. If you pass them by knocking their door off or you hit them or something, you get aggression points. And you don't try to go for these points as you race. You just race and it tallies the points. And at the end of the race, it adds them together and you get 1,000 points and you level up to just like you would in like a Call of Duty. Really? Online match. Yeah. And you level up, and as you level up, it unlocks new things for your car and new liveries and
that's cool.
And just in different stuff. And then you can unlock new tracks. There's drift racing, there's regular racing, there's a lot of one on ones where they'll give you two cars, say a Nissan 350Z and a S2000, and you get to pick one of them, and you'll have to race three races. One race where you start off ahead and you have to keep your lead, not like Need for Speed Carbon with the hill racing. It's an actual track. You just have to keep your lead, get ahead by 5 seconds, or just beat them to the finish line. The second race, same track, you switch positions. They start out ahead of you. If you get in 5 seconds ahead of them or beat them, you win. And then the third race, you start off even on the same track. And if you beat the first two, you don't have to go to the third race. You know, it's just best out of three.
Oh, okay.
But the game is long, man. I thought I played it for hours and hours, and there's just so much more to do. I really can't get enough of either one of these games, and I just recommend them wholeheartedly. I can't wait till Forza 3 comes out. If you're waiting, I will say this. If you're on the fence and don't want to get Need for Speed Shift because you're waiting for Forza 3, I would say you might want to keep waiting for Forza 3. There will probably be more content in Forza, and the racing will probably be tighter. Need for Speed, like I said in Dirt 2, in Dirt 2 I said I don't use the in-the-car view because it's hard to drive with the mud in your face. And I think the game is easier to control outside the car. But on Need for Speed Shift, I only drive it in the vehicle. I feel like it's outside of the car feels a little, like, for lack of a better word, wobbly to me.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like I'm going to fishtail. So when I'm in the car view, it's almost like you don't have a rear end to your car. Because, you know, I mean, a lot of games do that in first person, but I just think it's an easier game, Need for Speed Shift, in the view. I think Dirt 2 is an easier game outside the view. I'd be interested to see, maybe on some feedback, if any of you guys pick up either one of these games, what your thoughts are on either one and the new improvements, whether you like them or dislike them. So, that's my take on the racing games this fall. I really enjoyed them, and I hope you guys do too. Looking forward to Forza 3.
All right, man. Well, good stuff. Well, you want to take another break, and we'll come back to wrap everything up?
Yeah, well, we'll come back and give you guys a couple deals. We'll read our Gamesman checks. And
gotta get into Gamesman checks.
And any leftover stuff that we want to get out for the rest of this episode. So we will be back in a moment.
We'll be right back.
Alrighty then, we are back from our aforementioned break.
And, meanwhile, back at the fortress.
Yes, meanwhile, back at the ranch.
The Super Friends.
Hey, dude. You remember that show with the dude ranch?
We have lost it, man. We have lost it for this episode. It's been fun, though. It's been fun.
It has been fun, dude. It's got to be a little different. It's nice to just change it up and just talk.
Yeah. Which is what we're doing. I guess now you know that, but you probably should have mentioned that early on.
Yeah, there's no special sauce.
Surprise!
You know, we just... Yeah, we do appreciate you hanging out in your eardrum for this last hour, so, you know. So, we are going to get back into the cast. What do we want to talk about? We do have, the consoles this year.
Yeah.
Both of them got a $100 drop.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, actually, PS3, I think, might have been a little more than a drop, but they came out with a different version of it, so it's kind of hard to decide how much money they took off of it.
Yeah.
But, so we have now the Xbox 360 Elite at $299.
Nice.
The PS3 at $299, both with 120 gig hard drives. And then I actually heard that the Wii was getting a price drop to $199 for the fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I heard that too. I don't think it's been confirmed yet.
No. I thought it was.
I don't remember.
But either way, it's probably going to happen. So if it wasn't announced yet, then, you know, keep your ear to the ground. If you're looking on picking up a Wii, might as well wait for the price drop. And if it was announced, then, you know, go pick it up now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they announced it, that doesn't mean they implemented it, but, you know, to each his own. But, so we know that the PS3 is the better value for the money because it comes with the built-in wireless card, with a Blu-ray player. The internet is free for now. Sorry, I keep saying, I don't know what else you can get for your money. I mean, $299, you don't have to buy anything else except for controllers. With the 360, if you want a wireless card, it's $100 extra. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, your price drop is not a price drop. And if you want to watch high-definition movies, you have to either buy the Netflix or go out and buy a PS3 or Blu-ray player anyway.
Yep.
So we know the PS3 is the better value for the money, but Rabid, what do you think will happen this fall? What's your prediction for who's going to come out on top of console sales?
I'm going to say what I always say, and I'm just going to hope that PS3 comes out on top because they really do deserve it. It really is a better bundle for a console. You know, well, they don't push their features enough. When we've said that a lot, is that they don't flaunt what they have, you know?
No, I mean, if you got it, flaunt it. That's what my mom always told me, you know? Twerk it, boy. That's what I do. I twerk it. I wish Sony would twerk it a little more.
Yeah.
I mean, you can plug in a keyboard and a mouse and use it as a web browser. You can use it as a computer. If you don't have a computer and you just, it won't download everything like your computer will, but if you just want to go on and use your Word, I guess you can't use Word on there, but you can check out websites, you can browse, you can probably shop.
Music, videos.
Yeah, I mean, the PS3 is where it's at, and you have a swappable hard drive that you can go out to Staples or anywhere you want to go, Walmart, buy a 2.5-inch hard drive, and you can upgrade yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft, for some reason, their software lineup's just so good that they don't have to do that. I wonder, in the next 5 years, if it's going to be the downfall, because PS3 is picking up steam, man.
I hope it does. I hope they turn to a steamroller.
I do too. I hope their online gets better because I'll play it more if it's free, if I can get more features with it. But the Wii has had declining sales and we keep talking about it, but I think it's because everybody has one.
Yeah.
So will this price point, will people go out and buy a second Wii? Do you think the Wii is going to outsell the 360 and the PS3 this fall, Rabbit?
It's refreshing to see that people still don't mind all that much that it's not in, you know, that their games aren't in the highest quality. They're not in HD. They're not the next gen graphics. Because when you really get down to it, graphics are nice, but it's not the reason why I buy a console.
No,
I bought the Wii because it's the next step in virtual reality. I wanted to support that kind of innovation. So you know, it was worth $250, and it was only $250, and everything else was $400. You know what I mean? So It just kind of depends on where you're at, I guess. I don't think the Wii will have any problem continuing to sell what they're already selling, which is great Nintendo games and their primary titles. So I think they'll keep going strong in terms of their sales. In console sales, I don't see them going, you know, too nuts, going up any higher than they already are.
So now, Rabbit, who do you think will win this console season? Who's your prediction?
Out of all three?
Yep.
You know, it really could be PS3. They really could take it, but, you know, Xbox has been running strong for years now. And Wii still has great features and good family games, too. And they're starting to get their, you know, their decent third-party title feet under them. Hopefully that trend will continue. So it's hard to say. They're all doing pretty good, but I really hope that people, in terms of where my hopes lie, I really hope that people start realizing how great the PS3 is and how great it's been all along.
I would say I'd have to agree with you on my hopes, but I'm going to go out and say that I think the Wii, the reason the console sales are down is because everybody has one, so I don't think they're going to pick up and sell more. I think the 360 will continue to sell because it dropped the price, and I already know five people just in my circle of friends that went out and upgraded to the PS or the 360 because all their friends have one, and they all want to play online with their friends. So I hope the PS3 does it good, but I'm going to go out and say the Xbox this fall.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So, well, now that we got that off, why don't we get into some the Gamesman Check?
Woohoo! The Gamesman Check for this week. We've got quite a few entries here. Looks like the first one we have is from Beards and Beer. He says, "The Gamesman Check finished Batman with all riddles complete. Take that, Riddler douche."
Douche is like the word of the cast for the last couple months, man.
It is, man. It's because of Bobby Kotick. We'll get into that later, though. You can stick around for the Activision minute.
I wish I was there when kids asked, "What's a douche, Daddy?"
Yeah.
Because the podcast is for children, except for that part, I guess.
I guess.
All right. I'll take the next one. The next one is Hardly Dan. Hashtag the Gamesman Check. Been playing DDO, that's Dungeons & Dragons Online, Legends of Zelda, Wind Waker, Explosion Man, Battlefield 1942, and Call of Duty Modern Warfare and World at War. Seems like he is getting his game on.
Wow.
Go and get it, Hardly Dan.
Usually I play a crap load of games all at once, but...
That's every different console. He's playing online. Yeah. He's playing his GameCube, his Xbox Live. Place. That's cool, man. We like to see that. We like to see gamers gaming, right?
Absolutely. All right. Let's see. The next one we've got is from Beer and Beards.
Nice.
Hashtag the game's been checked. As always, my brother of Beard and Blood gets all my love, having a Beatles rock band party this weekend. Nice. I haven't heard really anything about Beatles, but people seem to really be liking it.
I've heard a lot, and people seem to really, really enjoy it. If you're a fan of the Beatles, looks like you got something to be happy about. If you're not, you get to listen to everybody talk about it for the next couple months.
Exactly.
We got here Killtron, hashtag the Gamesman Check, DDO, catch me out on Knith server, Killtron, Axebane. Looks like DDO... people are playing that pretty hard, it seems like. Must be a pretty cool game. I hope to check it out soon.
Yeah, me too. I haven't had a chance. Been on the 360 too much, like I said. So let's see. The next one's, I guess it's for me, so I'll just read my own.
Nice.
I said, that's right. I said, Gamesman Check. How's everybody doing? What are you playing? Been playing Hawks and revisiting Oblivion on 360. I'm actually really pleased with Hawks. I didn't think I'd like it. Those genres are always really hard to get into because the flight sims seem like they're going to be too hard, you know, because they don't explain the controls well enough or whatever. But I really like that one. It's a lot of fun to play. I dove right into it. The multiplayer is great.
I beat it. I couldn't stop playing. I played it for 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, it's great.
It wasn't much to do with that. I beat
the crap out of it once on hard, so I'm going back through on Elite now.
I heard the multiplayer is really good.
It was a lot of fun. We did a dogfight match, so it was guns only.
That's cool. So, Oblivion's one of the best games on the 360 also.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've already played it probably 5 or 6 times all the way through. I know every quest, like the back of my hand in that game. But I wanted the achievements, so I'm going back through on the 360 because I had it for the PC. So,
nice.
Yeah.
So, Hawks and Oblivion. Well, we got Hardly Dan here next. Hashtag the Gamesman Check. He's also playing DDO, Trials HD, Pure, which is a great game. Explosion Man, Battlefield 1942, Dark Sector, Afro Samurai, and my usual. I wonder what his usual is. It's been a busy week. So I wonder if he's talking about WoW when he says my usual.
I don't know. Is he a WoW player? I didn't think he was.
I really don't know. I guess we'll have to find out next time he tweets. You want to grab the next one? It looks like... well, here, I'll just grab that one real quick, because it's Harley Dan again. He said, oh, yeah, I forgot. He's also playing Fallout 3 and Monkey Island on his Touch, on his iPod Touch.
Even the Touch.
Wow, man. Every system, man. He's got one in his pocket, one in his left hand, on his forehead. It is... Man. Harley Dan, I don't know if you have a job, but you might not have it anymore.
All right, let's see. The next one we've got is from good old Z-Dub. We haven't heard from him in a while. Zerum Wing.
Yeah.
He says he's playing DDO, another one, and he just got Lost Planet Colonies. He said it's one of the few games for Windows Live games that has a useful feature, cross-platform play. That's true. That's only, I think, the second game that has cross-platform play. The first one was Gears of War, the original.
Gears of War, the original, had cross-platform play?
I played it on my PC sitting next to a buddy who was playing it on my Xbox.
Wow. I didn't know that.
It was a lot of fun. But they don't pimp that feature nearly enough.
No, they don't use it like nearly enough.
It's only been in two games. Yeah. So.
Well, all right, let's see. Next one is from me. Excalibur, hashtag the Gamesman Check. Haven't had much time to bust, but when I do, I got to get my racing fix on with some Stellar Dirt 2 and Need for Speed Shift. Like I said before, both fantastic games. I haven't played either one. I played Dirt Online for a second, but I haven't played Need for Speed Shift Online because I want to get my garage up a little bit before I don't want to have a bad record online.
So
I usually take, because I beat them pretty quick, I usually beat my racing games first and then take all my cars online and smack people in the face with them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Actually, our next check is by Harley Dan again. He says, oh, yeah, and playing Dirt 2.
Oh, man. Jeez. Wow. I'm going to have to kick his butt in that on some line, because now that I know he's on there too, he definitely doesn't have enough time to play all of them and get too good. That's a lot of gaming he's doing, man.
So you're already eyeing out your prey.
You know? I definitely am. This is the next one. Let's see. Beards and Beer.
Last but not least.
The Bearded Brothers are tearing it up. He's been playing some Call of Duty 4 in Prestige mode and being irritated by the lack of good guns.
I hear you, man. I hear you. I've been there once.
Man, that COD 4 is just... I put it in the other day, like I said, and played it with Beards and Beer, and it still looks like it could come out tomorrow. The graphics are still great, man. Doesn't even look a little bit dated to me.
Yeah, especially on HD. I hear it looks amazing.
Oh,
on HD still.
Well, so. Yeah, it does. I think there's just one more. Just came in 11 minutes ago. You got it over there?
Yeah, let's see, it's from Beer and Beards again. He says, mad props to my bro, Beards and Beer. Just playing Beatles Rock Band still, so cool.
Nice, I'm glad people are enjoying that. It's nice to see that people are getting into a community-type game that they like to play with other people.
Yeah, and Beards and Beard does have a shout-out here on Twitter. He says, shout-out to my brother, Beer and Beards. Peace, love, and video games.
Man, I wish all families and brothers got along as good as those two do. It's nice to see... I hate when family members fight, got a lot of, you know, brother issues. Nice to see them two just twitting it up together and bussing some game. Peace, yeah. Love, and bussing. That's what I'm talking about. Maybe a little bit of drinking.
All right, well, real quick, just because we've got to
wrap it up.
Our Activision Minute. We've got a couple of comments on an article on the Gamesman blog. and of course, it's Bobby Kotick and him saying that quote, the goal that I had in bringing a lot of the packaged goods folks into Activision about 10 years ago was to take all the fun out of making video games. I still can't believe he said that.
I forgot he said that. I didn't wanted to forget about it.
Yeah,
we all do. That's a prick move right there, man.
Let's see. Our first comment is from JSS Lifelike. And he says, are we sure that he's not just crafting these statements knowing that they'll come out in one public light or another? He sure has no problem making brash statements that completely contradict everything the gaming industry stands for. That is so true.
Hey, right on. I really don't get it. I try not to get them because I don't want to understand that type of person.
Yeah. Personally, I agree with Hardly Dan's comment. Who's next? He says, this guy is an arse. Every time I see a picture of him, I want to punch him in his grinning, pudgy face. Arg. That's, yeah.
Drop a bow on him.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Ludacris.
So that's the latest on Captain Douche and his money hat. And I think that about wraps it up, yeah?
That was just two last things I wanted to say real quick. I just, okay. If you have Xbox Live, you might have noticed on the spotlight, there is a Modern Warfare 2 bundle coming out. I know it kind of contradicts what we just said about Bobby Kotick, but I like to let the listeners know what they have available to them. It's a 250-gigabyte bundle with two wireless controllers. Count them. Two wireless controllers, a headset, the Modern Warfare 2 game. It has a limited edition paint job. And they said that they made a point to say the 250 hard drive not sold separately. So I don't know what that means. Do I have to buy one of these consoles to upgrade my hard drive, or they're just not going to do it till Christmas or after?
Yeah, it'll probably be a year or something that they probably have something planned out. But I mean, definitely not for a while.
Come on, I'm filling my 120 up already.
Jeez, my 60 still has 40 free on it.
Wow,
I can't do that,
man. Because I'm definitely not downloading those games on demand for $30. I'll tell you that.
For sure. Just go buy it for 20 and get a disc and then sell it back for $5. You know what I mean?
Yep. Yep. And I also saw that, you know, a couple casts ago, I mentioned the Forza bundle. Same bundle, two wireless headset, everything for $3.99. Not with a custom paint job, I don't think. But I haven't heard much more on that since. I saw something today online, but it looked like it was a UK price. So I'm wondering if maybe we get Modern Warfare and the UK gets the Forza. You'll have to just stay tuned for more info on that. I'm not positive. Just want to let you know what I hear. So you heard it here first.
I don't even know how they'd market.
I don't either.
A special Xbox 360 to the UK that has, you know, that comes with Modern Warfare. Are they going to crank up the price on that? Just because Modern Warfare is in the bundle?
$1,000.
Yeah, it's $1,000.
You know?
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him.
But I think that is pretty much all the gaming news we have for today. It was fun talking with you.
Yeah.
A lot of games coming up for the fall. I can't wait to do some of these shows when we'll have a lot to talk about. We'll get Lifelike back, and we can just have a nice, robust show for you folks.
Yeah. So thank you for hanging out with us for the fall preview episode.
Thank you very much for our... Go ahead, guys. I was going to say our Band-Aid and Tape show.
Yeah.
We piece this one together.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess as our good buddy JSS Lifelike and usual host says, we can put episode 13 into the time capsule for posterity. And
sounds like a wrap to me. Thank you for joining us. And stay away from them squirrel
it to
nuts.
The annals of history. Yes, stay away from the squirrel nuts.
Stay away from the squirrel nuts.
You don't know where they've been. Hold on, my wife just walked into the front door.
Come on in. Come on.
She wants to open the door.
All right, I'm recording, so be quiet. Okay?
10 seconds? All right,
1 second. She's got to put
these bags down.
Nine.
Eight.
Seven.
Six. Five. She's like, oh, shut up.
Hurry up. I was like mid-thought.
I'm trying.
Are you done?
No.
Oh, come on, seriously.
I'm coming. I'm sorry.
We're going to have to edit all of this.
Hey,
No, we can't it stop. It'll crash.
I'm making myself a sandwich.
You're going where?
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, she's gone. She's going to the neighbors to make a sandwich, apparently.
I hope the neighbor's not a guy.
Well, it's a couple that lives next to us.
All right.
It's not that kind of sandwich. Holy crap. It's a love sandwich.
Somehow, when it's all worn out. feel it in my wiener.